Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord and strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we pray these things. Amen. Sit down. We could be here a while. You need to get comfy. I've told others this since I came down a week ago from Texas, that when I first started out as a Methodist parson, lo, these many, many years ago, if I didn't preach for 40, 45 minutes or so on a Sunday, I would get told by the board, the vestry, on their way out the door, didn't you have anything to say today to us? Boy, aren't you glad them days are gone. I am. It's a pleasure to be able to come to this pulpit for the first time as the new assistant rector here in Holy Innocence. And what a joy it is to occupy this time with you, for us to think about, to talk about maybe even, what Jesus is trying to tell us today. I don't know about you, but I've really all my life enjoyed Charles Schulz. You know, the author of Good Old Charlie Brown. And I have to admit, I've identified often with many of these characters, as many of us have and do. And I think they are so popular to us because they embody so much of the common man, common person, one way or another. I mean, think of just dear, sweet, passive, lovable Lucy. Oh, you laugh. You know this girl. Okay. You know, everything's good with Lucy. Everything's just great. Everything just rolls and just, it's not an issue ever for her, right? Until all of a sudden something doesn't go the way she wants it to. And she stomps her foot and she says, "It's not fair." I can identify with that. I'm sure we all can. I think we've all shaken our fist at God or at somebody else along the way or at the news broadcast and say, "It's not fair." When things don't go the way we think they should. But of course, it's not just Lucy in the cartoon, it is us, and for the matter of fact, it isn't just this generation that resembled this whole process. Not being fair has been an issue for an extremely long time in the life of humankind. Just think about certain biblical characters I'd have you this morning. Think about Jacob. Now, there's a guy to emulate. Father, that is the guy who... No, I'm glad you don't. You know, he's a conniving, thieving cheater who stole his brother's birthright, Esau, who was so faithful, so dutiful, and connived his way into the blessing. David, that little runt of a character... The prophet of God goes to anoint the new king of Israel. And he calls forth the sons, and one after another, the big and the strong and the talented and whatnot. No, 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 that's not one. And don't you have another? And daddy says, "Well, yeah, I got this little scrawny kid up here watching our sheep because we have more important things to do for everybody else, and that's all he's worthy of doing." He came and he was God's choice. A man after God's own heart. But of course, he didn't stay that way, did he? No, 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 no. He showed his real colors. And because of his adulterous relationship, there came a guy by the name of Solomon. And David's other children said, "This is not right, it's not fair," when he was selected to be the chosen one. And was given so much wisdom and leadership abilities. And of course, dear holy and sacred, pious Job. Boy, Lord, please don't ever put that on my platter. I don't need that kind of testing of my faith. I tell you, Lord, I will fail. I don't know that I want to lose all my kids and my property and everything else I have. No, I know I don't. And yet there he was. It had been so easy for him to stomp his feet and say, it is not fair. But it wasn't just in the Old Testament days. Think about how Jesus talked to us. He had the opportunity to take the best of the best in the Jewish nation, to sit down to dinner with them and to have great intercourse with them, to have all kinds of conversation. And what's he do? He looks up in a tree at a scrawny little guy who's been stealing from his own people, collecting taxes by the name of Zacchaeus, and says, come on down, let's go to dinner. Well, he did repent. I know the whole story. But he picked him, the thief, over the so-called church people. Think about it. Okay. The widow. The widow in the synagogue. Two little brass, just copper coins she drops in. And Jesus said that was more than all those riches that these other folks put in. Why? Because she gave everything she had. The prodigal son. There's a wonderful story right there. We all feel good about if we're the prodigal coming home and getting the love of the father. But if we're the older son, it's not fair. And of course, the granddaddy of them all, the thief on the cross. Remember me, Lord, he said. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. What did that guy ever do to earn that? He didn't serve on the vestry or the finance committee. He never taught a day of Sunday school. He certainly didn't make a tithe like you need to or I do. And yet Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. It isn't fair. And in truth, it isn't. And whether we like it or not, it's not supposed to be. Because God doesn't deal with us, fortunately, in accordance with the human standard of fairness. Getting the picture? It's not about fairness. It's about that wonderful little word that if you're really lucky, young ladies, you're named grace. Now, quickly now, our gospel lesson. The farmer, he's got a bumper crop. He's got to go hire people, and he hires people all day long. And at the end of the day comes, and he says to his steward, pay him off. And he pays them all the same thing. And the guys who've been out there, the ladies and whoever it is that's been out in those fields harvesting all day, they say, it isn't fair. It isn't fair. And as business people, we sat back and say, you know, it really wasn't fair. Because no modern business person would possibly set out to do that. A good business person will pay somebody according to what they produce, right? Now let's put that in God's terms. I don't know about you, but this old boy, I don't want what I deserve. I don't want what I've earned. What I've earned is hell, just like every one of you, each and every one of us. We've not earned eternity with God. Oh, we make our confession, we accept him as our Lord, and we enter into a personal living relationship with him because of his sacrifice on the cross for us. But I can promise you, 52 years of ordination have not made me perfect. I sin. And your sermon last week, brother, was so good. How many times do we forgive? Over and over and over, every time. Because that's what the Father does when we come back to Him. It isn't fair. An acquaintance of mine of many, many years ago, and he's been gone from our world for a long time, the great Quaker theologian Elton Trueblood, of this parable he wrote, "Jesus' story makes no economic sense." But that was his intent, Trueblood writes. Jesus was giving us a parable about grace, which cannot be calculated like a day's wages. God's grace is not about finishing last or first, not as something we earn, a point that Jesus made clearly through the farmer's response, "I have not cheated you. After all, you agreed to do a day's work for one silver coin. Don't I have a right to do as I wish with my own money? Or are you jealous because I am generous?" Think about that with me for a minute, my friends. Think about how God is dealing with all of us. How, in the depths of our most depraved moments, the hand of God has reached out to us through another person, through an incident in our life, something that stopped us and got our attention. And He reaches out to us and with His overabundance of grace says, "You are my beloved child, and I love you, and I forgive you. You're my own." Now think on that for a moment and how wondrous it makes us feel inside. And then think about the last time someone did something that upset you and you stomped your foot and said, "That is not fair." How much grace is emitting out of each and every one of us? And how much more should there be? Now I'm going to tell a story, a church story, very familiar to a lot of us. I was serving up in Illinois, and I had the responsibility more than just a congregation, and I was visiting down by Cairo, down southern in the state. And I had been there a couple of Sundays, and there was this family that was sitting three rows back from the pulpit, and I thought that was kind of good, this lady, and she had her daughters with her and things, until a lady from the Altar Guild in the back of the church at the end of the service said, "Father, would you please tell those people not to sit in my pew? It's not fair. It's not fair." This parable is not about being fair. This parable is about God's grace, His abundant grace, which flows to each and every one of us, and we celebrate and we rejoice in it. But I can assure you there are thousands of people around us here who do not know it. And they won't know it unless we demonstrate it, unless we show it, unless we reach out and embrace them and convince them that fairness has nothing to do with it. It's God's abundant grace, His love. And we are brave and faithful enough, as Paul talks to the Philippians, to show it every day. To God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.